Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Sorry for the hiatus. Chapman got sick. Chapman got real sick. And so still struggling a little bit, but I was, you know, I woke up. I got some DayQuil. I got some coffee. I got some emergency in me. And I was like, you know what? I think I can go. So the mornings have been kind of the worst time the past few days, but I'm like, man, I'm going to power through this. Might be a little bit short episode, and if I cut it early, just understand Chapman's running to the bathroom. But anyway, that's what it is. Anyway, today I am excited because, you know, there's a lot of things that I've been wanting to talk about. You know, with just rookie signings, some contract updates, just across the board, which do affect the 49ers. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, they put out he called it an elite nine, like comparing the nine best players on the Chargers. And it just kind of got my wheels spinning. And so I wanted to kind of look at not so much a comparative, but I was like, all right, who would be the top 10 players in the 49ers now and for the future? It kind of create a little dialogue. I think there's really only one or two names that would change if we're just looking at 2025 versus, you know, the long-term building plans 2, 3, 4 years out, what that looks like. And we kind of have a solid background built out on this because we're doing the 49ers roster countdown where we rank 1 through 91. So no spoilers there, but we are going to go over the top 10 players on the 49ers roster for this year. And I think there might be a name or two that we might disagree with, and that's okay. And I kind of want to hear your thoughts out on that and see where everybody stands. Now, one thing that I did not do, we do this in the roster countdown series, is we rank them. This is the number one. This is the number two. This is number three. We're just doing a generic kind of snapshot of the top 10 and what that looks like today. So like, don't pay attention by, you know, where the players rank. I even randomized the order, you know, trying to leave a little bit of suspense in there so that the roster countdown series kind of maintains that. But I think some of the names you'd be able to defer on your own. Want to say thanks to everybody in the chat. What's up, Carlos, my friend, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Hugo, you guys are awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm glad that everybody gets here. And yeah, I'm still struggling. And I could already tell, like, you know, we're 3 minutes into this episode. I'm just like, ooh, I might have bit off more than I could chew. But hey, we're not going on the pup inactive today. We are going to power through practice. We're going to get it done. This is episode 1431 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Not keeping us down, baby. Not keeping us down. What's up, my friend Rusty? Love to see it. Love to see it. Love all the hashtag CCs. You are the best. And Kevin says, 10 best or 10 most impactful. This is a 10 best for this year. And kind of maybe, and it's always, it's hard just to isolate, right? Because your 10 best should be the 10 most impactful, but not always the case. So I'm going with the top 10 players for this season. Like, who are the top 10 players? And if, you know, however you want to look at it, maybe not most valuable, whatever else, but I think these are the 10 best players that the 49ers have. It always gets like, well, hold on. Are we talking this? Are we talking that? And you got to clearly define it because it changes the way you look at it. Now, spoiler alert, I'm not putting a rookie on this damn list, period. Like, you got to play a snap. You got to play a series of snaps before. Now, I do think that one of the rookies will be on this. And again, we're going to talk about this player a little later. My most impactful, and I think the best rookie, is going to be Alfred Collins. He would be number one on my list if rookies made it. But rookies didn't make this list. It is all players who have played for the 49ers before. Bryce Huff, not on this list. Not on this list. But yeah, you had to have played in the NFL to qualify. All the rookies are removed. But if I did put a rookie on here, it would be Alfred Collins. And we're going to talk more about him later in this show, just because the contract status, I think it's important to update. And we've got some more movement this morning and contracts getting signed, which I hope will push along that Alfred Collins deal. And just to keep you up to date, so you don't have to wait, 30 of the 32 second round picks still have not signed. It's crazy. It's great. We're down to 38 unsigned players for the entire draft, all seven rounds, all 32 teams. That's it. 38 players have not signed their contracts. 30 of those are second round picks. Just crazy times, man. Crazy times. What's up, Kim? Look at this. From Denmark. I love it. I love it. Tommy, we talk about practice? Practice? Allen Iverson, I freaking love it. One of the coolest press conferences ever. And one of the press conferences that was taken 1,000% out of context. And I know people don't know. Go watch the entire practice. Like, that was not about him not practicing. That's not what that was about. It was about one of his best friends getting killed and him struggling with balancing life versus... Anyway, that's the whole thing. Like, oh, man. Go back, watch the entire press conference. And I still use that sound bite all the time, but it was never what it was spun to be. That's not what it was about. It wasn't about practice. It was about life. Anyway, I'll back off, but I love that AI. Love AI. Love AI. Mike, it surprises me that you think Collins, when he was likely a two-down player, why Williams is probably a three-down player. Well, two things. I disagree with some of those assessments. I do not think Alfred Collins is a two-down player. I do not. Now, he was. That is correct. And you even put that in your write-up, Mike. Mike's the man, as always. I do believe Alfred Collins will be a three-down pass rusher. I think even in the NASCAR packages, when Robert Saleh brings in three defensive ends, I think Alfred Collins will be the lone defensive tackle out there. Because, and again, whenever they drafted Alfred Collins, not only was he used as a two-gap kind of run stuffer in his time at Texas, but, you know, you listen to Scott McLuhan, you listen to Chris Kucerik, you listen to Kyle Shanahan, you listen to John Lynch, you listen to the front office guys, they all believe that he could be used as a pass rusher because of his height, because of his length, because of his wingspan. They're just going to use him differently than what Texas did. So I do believe he's going to have way more snaps than Mikael Williams will. Now, health is always going to go into that, and he's got a calf strain now. But, like, no, if you're asking me rookie snap counts, I think Alfred Collins outsnaps Mikael Williams. I do. Now, the reason why Mikael Williams went earlier is because defensive end is valued way over defensive tackle. This wasn't the strongest defensive end class. It was a very strong defensive tackle class, things like that. But no, my opinion, I don't think Mikael Williams will be a true three-down guy, especially early. The Bryce Huff trade almost makes that even more so. Now, the counterpoint and nuanced takes are always welcome here. Well, do you kick Mikael Williams inside? And now is he getting those pass rush snaps inside next to Alfred Collins? All right. Now we're talking. That's what I want to happen. But I would still argue Alfred Collins will play more than Mikael Williams will, in my opinion, because I do believe Alfred Collins is a true three-down guy. But if you kick Mikael Williams inside on that NASCAR package, ooh, man, I would love that. That's what you should do. Right here, Bobo, what happens if they don't sign? Do they get released to play for a different team? And I think I said the wrong thing on a previous show. I mean, I went back and did some more research. Yeah, technically, if you do not sign, you can re-enter the draft next year and be redrafted. I was wrong on that. Now, once you're under contract, here is what I was alluding to, and I spoke miscorrectly. If you are under contract and hold out, the CBA says that contract tolls. But for rookies who have not even entered into the contract, this is where I was wrong. No, it recycles. So basically what happens is for guys like Shamar Stewart or Alfred Collins or 30 of the second round draft picks, if they do not sign, they would be eligible for the draft next year and a different team could pick them. So, and you even alluded to some of that with Caleb Williams and kind of what happened whenever he was like, dude, I don't want to go play for Chicago. Maybe we go play Canadian ball, UFL, something like that. basically, if you never enter into contract, you are never officially a part of the CBA. Therefore, you would have to sit out the entirety of the year, re-enter the draft next year, and a different team would pick you. And I've got some stuff I want to jump into a little bit later on that. Is Mustafa back this season? Yeah, I believe so. The fact that his injury wasn't near as severe, right? And again, it was a re-injury of a previous issue. That makes it a little bit better. But again, I'm not a medical guy. So I think they just had to go up and kind of refix what was going on in that knee. I do think that he comes back. I do think that he gets back. Appreciate you, Mike. You're the man. Right here, Ben. Yeah. You know, Ben helped us with our entire draft profile. It absolutely rocked the freaking house, man. He's incredible. Helped us with our 91 roster series breakdown. He was higher on Alfred Collins than I was. And I thought I was number one. I had, you know, a very early, man, I don't have my rankings in front of me. I wish I did. Sorry about that one. But anyway, I had like a top second round grade on Alfred Collins. I think he was like my 30th overall player around there. Ben was higher on him than I was. And the batted balls, it just making it so much more difficult for quarterbacks to throw the ball, you know, over that length. This dude, again, Alfred Collins has a longer, the basketball references are just going to keep flying on this show. He has a bigger, longer wingspan than LeBron James. Like, Alfred Collins is a mountain of a man. There's so many ways that you can affect the passer, and I think that matters. What's up, Sean? How you doing, man? Right here, Mike says, oh, interesting. I thought Williams would be on the inside on third down. I think he will be some, but the NASCAR package, you don't do it all the time. You do it on third and long only. So on true, like, third and four, third and three, third and two, I don't think Mikael Williams will be out there. Now, if it's third and two, Alfred Collins better be out there. If it's third and long, Alfred Collins should still be out there. That's the difference for me. So, yeah, I think even in those NASCAR packages, which Robert Saleh does more than most defensive coordinators, way more than D'Amico, way more than what we saw in Nick Sorensen, I think we're going to see that a lot more. So, again, I think the snap count for Alfred Collins, assuming health, will surpass that of Mikael Williams by probably about 150 snaps. Like, if you get close to, you know, 700 to 800, 900 snaps, you know, Chris Kucerik, and we wear down players more than anybody. But, you know, just off the top of my head, I'd say, like, okay, 800 snaps for Alfred Collins, maybe 765 for Mikael Williams, something along those lines. Just putting some numbers to it. Again, don't hold me to it, but that's kind of what I see. Dan, what's up, man? Who is a bubble guy that you do not want to get cut? Ooh, a bubble guy I do not want to get cut. I am going to say, ooh, I've got a couple guys. I really want one of them. Nobody's going to like. I want Patrick Taylor Jr. to make this roster. Like the running back, he's just too good. I really wish we would have used him way more last year. I don't think that he will make this roster, but I really wish we would have used him way, way more. I just thought he was too freaking good. One of the newest signed guys, Malik Knowles, you know, kind of that Debo role wide receiver. I really want him to make it just because I think he provides something that the 49ers no longer have on this roster, and that kind of just yak, jet sweep, wide back mentality, but he's going to take time to develop. Can they invest that in him? Can you stash him on the practice squad? Maybe. But yeah, we'll see what that looks like. We'll see what that looks like. And then offensive line-wise, dude, Matt Hennessy, that is a guy. I understand he's a backup center. I understand Forrester and Shanahan have a love child that is named Jake Brendel. But, man, I'm sorry. I don't think anybody could convince me. I've seen the tape on Matt Hennessy. I've seen the tape on Jake Brendel. One is 1,000% more consistent and has functional NFL play strength. So, like, those would be three of the ones that are kind of like, man. So Matt Hennessy, Malik Knowles, and then, you know, the running back, Taylor Patrick. That would be a big one that I want. What's up, Smoking Niner guy? Appreciate you, man. You're awesome. Never too late, man. Never too late. So let's dive into the 49ers top 10. So the 49ers put out, or sorry, the Chargers put out, you know, Harbaugh sitting there and doing his press conference thing, and he's like, ooh, our Elite Nine is what he called them. Our Elite Nine, he lists off the names. And I was like, okay, that's a pretty solid list, but nowhere near what the 49ers could do. And I understand that this is a debate that only takes place on, you know, these hypothetical situations. I would put the 49ers top 10. Elite Nine didn't really, wasn't too copacetic with me. You got to go to 10, get the round number. I'd put the 49ers top 10 up against anybody. Now, yeah, there's going to be teams with better quarterbacks or maybe a better top three or maybe a better top five, but I don't think so. Like, the 49ers top 10 is just bananas. The amount of players that they have now, the way that they built this roster, it is a very top-heavy loaded roster that falls off immediately after this top 10. Now, in no particular order, okay? In no particular order whatsoever, here are my players in the top 10. And again, I randomized this list so that it doesn't mirror our 49ers top 10 on a roster countdown that we're working on. But in no particular order, the top 10. Trent Williams, he's got to be in there. Now, I like that he's lost weight. I like that he's back. I like that he's healthy. I like that he's already getting work in OTAs and minicamp. A lot of positives. I love that he said he thinks he could play till 40-41. I love that. He's got to be involved. Has his play stepped back a little bit? It's not as... Last year was a weird year. Obviously, the offseason that he went through, you can't discount that. But you didn't see a lot of the dominating finishes and just killing human beings out there on the gridiron. Very consistent, definitely all-pro level, even though he wasn't. He missed too much time. But, like, yeah, like, he's still playing at all-pro level. Is it going to return to that, you know, throwing people in the ground and burying people on a regular basis? That's what I'm curious to see. But even if it's not that, it doesn't matter. He's still a top three left tackle in the NFL. Like, yeah, even if it did step back and he's not the clear number one guy, he's still a top three guy. You're getting what you paid for. And then some. Christian McCaffrey, obviously he's looking good. Seems like every single video clip that comes out across social media from, you know, OTAs and minicamp is Christian McCaffrey. And it looks good. Says he's healthy, but remember, the one thing I always want to go out there and just say, you know, Kyle Shanahan goes through it. I cut the clip and I was like, I don't even want to play this clip because I don't think there's anything that we can gain of value from the clip where he's like, they'll be back at training camp. 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 Christian McCaffrey was questionable week one with his injury last year. And yeah, Christian McCaffrey looks healthy, says he's healthy, all those things. But just remember, Christian McCaffrey was a questionable week one last year. The 49ers and their injury diagnosis, timetables, whatever, don't listen to a damn thing they say about him. They will lie through their teeth. And like, I believe Shanahan and John Lynch on a lot of things. Anything with fully healthy and we expect back, whatever. Now, having said that, if Christian McCaffrey wasn't healthy and they're holding out like 20 players of OTAs and Christian McCaffrey is not one of them, got to think he's healthy, and you need it. Man, the 49ers could really, really use a healthy Christian McCaffrey, but he's definitely in the top 10. George Kittle, yeah, say less, right? The best tight end of football continues. Love that the extension got done. Best two-way tight end player, one of the best ever in, you know, probably NFL history. I think it'd go like Gronk, Kittle. Maybe you want to throw Winslow in there. Definitely there's a couple other guys that you could say, but like all out, elite blocker, all-out, elite receiver, offensive weapon. Kittle's definitely in the top three of any conversation. Future Hall of Famer. I don't think he's there yet. I think he needs one more quality season then he's in there. But with what he's done, you know, just as the face of the NFL, personality of the NFL, all the media stuff, he'll get in there. And again, back to Trent Williams is in the Hall of Fame. Christian McCaffrey is not. In my opinion, I think he has to have one more all-pro year or close to it to get there, or Super Bowl. George Kittle, I think would get in right now, but not be a first ballot. Probably wouldn't get in, like, if he never took another snap again, right? I don't think he'll get in. He just might have to wait a while. You have one more elite year, then I think you're talking first ballot. But there's a logjam at the tight end position. Brock Purdy, obviously the quarterback, he's going to make the top 10. He's done too much, too consistently to not be involved in this list. You want to get involved. Well, is he a top 10 quarterback? Is he not? Is he elite? Is he not? What about his skill set? What about arm strength? I get that. But for a quarterback that has delivered like he has and have so many playoff wins, that's huge. And so many playoff come from behind wins. Yeah, you know, you go back to the 2023 season, didn't end in a Super Bowl, but fourth quarter comeback against the Packers, fourth quarter huge comeback against the Lions, and then three times in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, walked on the field trailing, walked off the field with the lead in the fourth quarter in overtime. He's got to fit in the top 10. Just the efficiency numbers, all that stuff. And what, yeah, last year wasn't great, but I don't think it was near as bad as what a lot of people say either. Brock Purdy's definitely going to be in the top 10. Wherever you want to put him on that list, that's fine. This list is not in order. What's up, Grand A? Oh, we got Uncle Salty in the house. I love it. Love it. Love it. Let's see here, right here, Uncle Salty. I vote for Dominic Pooney as one of the top 10, and I would too. He is on our list of top 10 players. And again, no rookies are on this list. No rookies were considered for this list. You know, Dominic Pooney coming in as a third round pick last year and doing what he did, just phenomenal. I would argue the best offensive player we had last, or offensive line player we had last year. Like, that's it. Like, it, yeah, Trent was also, but he missed so much time. Dominic Pooney was out there, period, and just did his damn job consistently. Now, wasn't, I think sometimes we get rose-colored glasses and say, oh, man, he was, you know, whatever. But you go watch those Rams game, he got his lunch ate. So, like, there were still some rookie issues that you hope can get addressed. And he did have some bad games. But overall, man, for a rookie to step in week one and just do what he did consistently, Dominic Pooney is a part of the foundation of this franchise moving forward. Now, this front office has decided never to pay guards. Will that change at some point? You know, you let Laken Tomlinson go. That was perfect timing. You let, you know, Aaron Banks go. I think that was really good timing. We'll have to see what that looks like. But they haven't really paid guards. They only draft them. They draft guards all the time. They don't draft tackles. They don't draft centers. But they draft guards, you know, sometimes multiple times a year, which is interesting. Dominic Pooney's 100% on this list. I freaking love that dude. And can't wait to see him play. Now, if you want to see him play, and if you're going to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All right, and I do have to, again, another update. We have added, we're doing every single road game except the Rams because we already own that stadium. But we're adding a preseason game, the Vegas game. So many people ask, like, dude, are you doing an event in Vegas? Yes, we are. We're hosting the tailgate. That's up on the site now. So if you want to join us for the tailgate right outside Raider Stadium in the morning, it's going to be a blast. I can't freaking wait for that one. That's going to be a blast. Look at Rick. Appreciate you, man. He says, you know, good mornings from Chicago. How are you, John? I'm great. He says, every time I come on your show, it's terrific. Your show, good news about the 49ers. Excellent. Man, appreciate that. That's very, very kind. Love you right back, brother. Now, let's get back. We have five more players in our top 10 so far. We've said Trent, CMC, Kittle, Purdy, Dominique Pooney. That's five. Let's give the defense some love, huh? Renardo Green. And again, this is no particular order, top five, whatever. It's just these are the 10 players. I think Renardo Green is right on that fringe. You know, if, and again, if I was doing this numerically, Renardo Green would be that 8, 9, 10, one of those last couple spots. I don't think that, you know, he's quite in the tier of, you know, Kittle, CMC, Trent, those kind of guys. But the 49ers not only love Renardo Green, they did not create a contingency plan if Renardo Green doesn't work out. Outside corner is the shallowest position on this roster. You know, they went out and very heavily targeted nickel corners. You know, Upton Stout, Trey Avery, Marcus Siegel. Trey Tomlinson, who's no longer on the team, but like they wanted a true nickel guy to come out and win, and they signed multiple of them. They didn't bring in very many outside corners, and the only outside corners they did bring in have a ridiculous amount of injury history or a long in the tooth, whatever else. So, like, dude, out, like, they are banking on Renardo Green being the guy, like, the guy. D'Amador Lenore and Renardo Green, those two guys, like, have to be starting outside corners. Now, the only issue with Renardo Green is this: can he stay healthy and finish games? He had no long-term injury effects last year, but there were three or four games that he did not finish because of, you know, just foot, ankle, whatever else. Just like, that's something that I really want to see in year two. You know, the tape was good and teams went after him. You know, whenever you've got Charvarius Ward, you've got D'Amador Lenore out there, teams tested the rookie and he showed, like, let's go. Like, he's already been through a little bit of a gauntlet. And so the tape is out there on him, and he showed that he could play, and he can make you pay. Can he be more consistent? Can he stay healthy? Those are the only true questions, because behind him, Terrell Luter Jr., Trey Brown, like, it gets rough. I will still say my biggest issue with this roster is outside corner. I would bring in Jaire Alexander. I would see what it would take to trade for, you know, Jalen Ramsey, whether you want to move him to safety or not, whatever else. But, like, I do think outside corner is my biggest question mark as far as depth goes on this roster. I do not like it. So, Renardo Green, you're in the top 10. You're a stud. Oh, yeah, right here. David, massive year for Renardo. And this up, yeah, it is 100%. Massive, massive year. Right here, Tommy Green got smoked in OTAs, John. Yeah, one of the clips they put out there of DeMarcus Robinson, it beat him over the top. Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen in practice, and that's going to happen in the games too. Like, but you know, I would say one snap does not whatever, but they're banking on Renardo Green being the guy, not a guy, the guy. So yeah, we'll have to see what that is. 2 days he got smoked. Haven't seen anything since. Those things are going to happen in training camp, and you try different things and whatever else. That's the way it goes. But you know, that wasn't something that happened in the regular season. But corners get beat. Like, corners get beat, period. It's just, that is going to happen. But yeah, he's got to be a top 10 guy in OTAs, mini camp. You know, and I would always tell players whenever we were practicing, like, look, guys, you know, we're going to try. We're going to put you in different situations. We got to learn what you can and can't do. And sometimes it's going to look bad in practice, and we'll go through it whenever we jump inside and go over practice tape. But all we're doing is to get right for the game. That's what we're trying to do. And so sometimes you got to learn. And in spring ball, you try different things. You know, maybe you're trying them out at press more and seeing if you can play Renardo Green and press man without safety help over top. Can he handle that? Well, maybe you learned he can't. And that's okay. It was the same with Charvarius Ward. That's been his negative his entire career. But look how much money he's made and how quality he is. Like, you don't play Charvarius Ward press man against a speed wide receiver without safety help over top. Like, everybody knows that except for Nick Sorensen. But like, you have to figure out it's not so much what the players, you know, can and can't do. You have to figure out how to mitigate those risks. Nobody's a complete player. And so I think that's a big deal. And I get asked this a lot, Leon. I really hope Asante Samuel gets a clean bill of health and we get him. Asante Samuel has come out and said to his agent, they are not signing until he's got some like neck issue, I think. Like, that is a major issue. Like, he's not available. They are waiting until he gets cleared completely before they do sign, and he can't pass a physical. I don't think he can pass a physical right now. But yeah, if I could say the 49ers sign any position, it's outside corner, not slot corner, outside corner. Because I do not have faith outside of D'Amador Lenore and outside of Renardo Green. None. And if one of those guys goes down, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean the season's up in shambles or whatever else. The 49ers have cap space. They have draft picks. They could trade. I'm just not confident in this roster. Now, can somebody step up? That's going to be key. But, man, that's a rough position. All right, next up, Juwan Jennings. I've got him in my top 10. And this is the one that's like, okay, for this year, Juwan Jennings, I think, has to be there. He's my only wide receiver on the list. I do not have Ayuk. I do not have, goodness, it's right there. It's missing my name. Pearsall, Ricky Pearsall, goodness, what's wrong with me? I told you guys, I'm not feeling well today. Juwan Jennings is the number one. There's no doubt about it. Not only that, Juwan Jennings not even practicing. His hamstring's acting up again. Now, again, if you want to buy the Shanahan company line, oh, well, he could go. We're just being safe. I don't think so. Again, Ricky Pearsall missed almost all the training camp with shoulder and two hamstring injuries last year. Now, I'm very high on Pearsall long term, but Juwan Jennings is the guy this year. When Ayuk comes back, and if this was a top 10 list and I'd incorporate multiple years, I would swap Juwan Jennings and put in Brandon Ayuk in this list, but I'm not putting him in there now because I don't think Ayuk plays until about November, and I don't even think he's going to be himself until maybe the end of November, December, because he has to have that ramp up time. That's been part of his entire career. And so, you know, and I'm probably in the minority here. I don't want to extend Juwan Jennings. I do, and I want him on this team forever, but that wide receiver market is stupid. It is stupid. You're paying $15 million a year for Rashad Bateman? Juwan Jennings way better than that. Juwan Jennings is going to get like $20 million a year. Now, I love Juwan Jennings, and if he would like to stay, I would extend him, but I ain't paying $20 million a year for Juwan Jennings. Maybe I would. I struggle with it. I'm tired of paying wide receiver money. I'm tired of it. I do not believe in second contract wide receivers at this time. I just don't. Unless they are a 100% difference maker. But Kyle Shanahan will never stop drafting wide receivers. Kyle Shanahan will never stop bringing in free agent wide receivers. Kyle Shanahan will never stop. It's just wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Even whenever you had three wide receivers on second contracts, Ayuk, Kittle, and Jennings, you still spend a first rounder on Ricky Pearsall and a fourth rounder on Cowing. And then you go back and spend another, you know, draft pick on Jordan Watkins, which seems that's great. It's panning out, but it's just like, I don't think that there is value to be gained in wide receiver contracts in today's current NFL. And you already have one of the worst, I would argue the worst wide receiver contract on your books already. And Brandon Ayuk, that contract is awful. It is so bad. But you already did it. You can't get out of it. So let's roll with that, and let's allow Ayuk, Pearsall, and one of these young bucks to step up. Oh, man. But I do love some Juwan Jennings. But I kind of want to see him go get paid. It's not by us. I mean, this dude's going to get $20 million a year next year. And the 49ers are going to get another fourth round comp pick for him. I want him. And I do want to keep him. I just do not fundamentally believe in the roster construction side of things. Paying multiple wide receivers second and third contract money is intelligent. I don't think that it's smart. But that's just me. Bobo, look at this. Let me guess. Kyle Shanahan once played wide receiver. That is correct. Mike, seriously, we're a run-first team. Freaking act like it. Yeah, we run the fewest wide receiver sets in the NFL. We have spent the most draft capital on the wide receiver position and the most salary cap capital on the wide receiver position, yet we run the least, and we still have a major need at wide receiver. Right here, you want pay $20 million for someone that would have been a Super Bowl MVP. I don't look at it that way. And again, my thing is not Juwan Jennings deserves to get paid. I don't allocate, like, you look at guys like George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner. Those guys still aren't making $20 million a year. Like, the top paid positions at linebacker, safety, tight end, running back, you know, center. Like, that's the thing. Like I would rather have the best center in the NFL at $20 million a year than Juwan Jennings at $20 million a year. Now, this is predicated upon this or that. Well, if you let Juwan Jennings go, what are you going to replace it with? Whatever else. But I'm just saying the value, where does Juwan Jennings rank on wide receivers? And this even has holes in the argument as well. But, like, is he a top 20 wide receiver? I don't know. Maybe he is for the 49ers because of the physicality and what he brings and the attitude. I love Juwan. This is not an anti-Juwan take. This is an anti-wide receiver take. That's my issue. I would much rather have the best center, the best tight end, the best running back, the best linebacker, the best nickel corner than the 20th wide receiver. That's my issue. Okay, so it's not, I know somebody's going to get upset and I'm going to email. I love Juwan Jennings. I absolutely love this man. I just don't want to allocate that much money. What's Juwan Jennings' role going to be like when Brandon Ayuk is back? Because Brandon Ayuk's the X. Yeah, Juwan Jennings can fill in at X. But he goes back to slot. You can't put Juwan Jennings in the Z role, that Debo role. You can't do jet sweeps with Juwan Jennings. That's not what he does. Ricky Pearsall could do that. So we run the most two wide receiver sets in the NFL, the 49ers do. You're going to pay somebody $20 million a year to go back to a slot wide receiver, and you don't even use it. Like, maybe that's going to take some changing. Okay, cool. You're not going to run as many two tight end sets. Why are you playing Luke Farrell? All right, well, we're not. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just a misappropriation of funds, in my opinion. I do love Juwan. I was the one that was saying extend Juwan, not Ayuk. Right? And people got mad at me about that. Like, I would have taken Juwan at a 5-year, $20 million a year, whatever, over what we did for Ayuk. That the Ayuk deal was stupid. I think everybody recognizes that now. But I would have taken, it was this or that. Well, you went down the Ayuk path. And so now you're on that path. You can't get off that train. So that's why I'm saying now, I think that he should go. After this year, let them go sign, build through these compensation pick whatevers, and just allow that to develop and let them get paid because he deserves to get paid. But again, I would rather spend $20 million on a center, a guard, a tackle, a tight end, a linebacker, a defensive tackle, a nickel, a safety, whatever, and you can get the best of any of those positions. That's kind of where I stand on that, but I get it if you disagree, and I don't mind that. And like, disagreements are a good thing. This is the show for disagreements. Like, let's flesh out the conversation so that we can understand why, where I stand and where you stand. Hopefully, when you walk away from this show, you're like, okay, yeah, I get that, but I disagree. Disagreements are the best. If you agree with me, you are insane. I'm an insane person that is hyped up on Dayquil. and coffee and tea. I've got everything in my system, so it's probably good that you disagree with me. Strawberry, agree with John here. Uh-oh, I just talked about disagreement. We had Juwan before Juwan with Kendrick Bourne. They have been able to find these types of guys and players before, and it's a sub-role. Now, Juwan elevated whenever Ayuk got hurt and all that stuff, and like, man, good for him. But he's not your prototypical X, and I don't think any team would sign him as an X because you don't push the field vertically. Like, you have to have that threat there. And right here, now, this is where I disagree, but the logic applies to both, Strawberry. It's why I'm fine with trading JP Mason. They can easily replicate what Mason does for this team with a late round. That I disagree there, but my logic says I should. It should agree with you. I went back and watched the 2024 season. I think the 49ers maybe won 3 or 4 games if it wasn't for Jordan Mason and Juwan Jennings. Like, those two just dominated. Right here. I think Juwan on the same level as Bolden, same speed, size, play style, physicality. Yeah, I love Anquan Bolden. I think he's one of the most unheralded wide receivers of the past few generations. Dude just stepped on the field and was elite day one. And the physicality was off the charts there. And that never dissipated. I don't think it will ever with Juwan either. Bobo, Juwan Jennings is the best number 3 wide receiver of all time. I love that. I love that. Let's go. Can't wait for the season. Man, this is fun. Rusty, Juwan may become a flag liability with another team. It took a few years for our leaders to get him to ease up on his fighting. I just love that, man. I love old school players. And I love Juwan Jennings. Do not take this as I'm anti-Juwan. I'm just anti-spending wide receivers in this market that is just overinflated at that position. I don't know why it went crazy, but I don't want to play it. I don't want to play it. So we've got Trent, CMC, Kittle, Brock Purdy, Dominic Pooney, Rado Green, Juwan Jennings. Let's go back to defense. Diamandour Lenore. This dude, he is talking nonstop on social media about everybody's whatever. He is not backing down. And I love the alpha mentality. I love that he waited to start talking until he put it on tape. He has been incredible. I don't know how they're going to use him. Because, again, you went out and you added 4 nickels. Yeah, I think he's one of the better nickel corners in the league. Kyle Shanahan said they want to keep him outside. I hope that they do keep him outside now because you don't have any outside depth. If you kick Diamandour Lenore inside, that means Upton Stout's on the sideline. Jacob Robinson's on the sideline. And who's going to be outside? Darrell Luter Jr.? No. Absolutely not. So you've got all these nickel guys. I want to see the nickel guys. You got to go with the young guy now. We'll see how that goes, whether it's Marquis Siegel, Jacob Robinson. Obviously, they want it to be Upton Stout. He's been getting those snaps, but the pads ain't come on yet. We got to see that. But Diamandour Lenore, again, you've got 2 good outside corners and nothing else. That's a problem. That is a major problem. But I love Demo. I want to see him make captain this year. And, man, he's awesome. I've got my Demo jersey, so excited to see him. Number 9, Nick Bosa. And, again, this is in no particular order. I randomized it. Obviously, he's got to be on there. Former Defensive Player of the Year. One of the best 2. I would argue you had Cameron Jordan as the best 2-way defensive end in the league for a decade. And I think that now that kind of baton has been passed to a couple guys. Max Crosby and Nick Bosa seem to be the 2 that are fighting. And Myles Garrett's great versus the run. Don't get me wrong. Myles Garrett's the best defensive end in the NFL. It's not even close. He's in the tier by himself. But Nick Bosa is so damn good against the run. So good against the pass. You've seen the tackle for losses and just he's just a staple of everything the 49ers do. And, you know, with how terrible the defensive line has been last year in particular and this year in the past 2022-2023, like, man, this dude just getting double, triple team like crazy. And it happens to other guys, too. It's not just Bosa, but Bosa's always up there at the top of the list. Nick Bosa definitely on here. And last but certainly not least, again, these are not in order. Fred Warner. who I would say is the best defensive player we have, and I would say might be the best player we have on the team, period. And again, back to that Juwan Jennings thing, Fred Warner's still not making $20 million a year. The fact that you get this insane value for a Christian McCaffrey because the running back position's underpaid, George Kittle tight end position's underpaid, and linebacker position underpaid, like, that's huge. Like, you could have the best of these three underpaid positions on long, and yeah, you're paying Christian McCaffrey. He's, you know, he signed for a while. You know, it cracks me up every time, like, I look up Christian McCaffrey's contract, because it's like, man, can he play for, you know, three more years? He's 29 this year, but you've got him signed through 2027. I sure as hell hope he can. I just want to see this year. Like, right? Like, if we got one more year out of CMC that was anywhere close to the first year when we traded him, or the year he won Offensive Player of the Year, like, I don't think that's in the realm of possibility. At least it shouldn't be. But, like, man, just give me a 1,500-yard season, total yards, and 12 touchdowns. And it sounds like it's like, John, that's ridiculous that that is what you're compromising on. But this is somebody that scored like 24 touchdowns and had like 1,000 and 1,000. So, like, you know, let's water it down just a little bit, these expectations. Let's just, you know, lower it a little bit. But yeah, so, you know, again, you got Warner, Bosa, Demo, Juwan Jennings, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, CMC, Trent Williams. That's the 10. And again, if you want a long-term put Ayuk in for Jennings or Pearsall, I got to see more from Pearsall. You know, he's had three great games, but like the consistency, that's the big deal, and the dependability. This is somebody that never missed, I think he made 51 out of 51 college games, never missed a college game. And this is, you know, remove the shooting from the equation, the hamstring and shoulder issues. Like, he's missed almost all of not one but two OTAs and mini camps. And he missed all of last year's training camp before the shot. This dude got to practice, and he's got to stay out there. And yeah, if Christian McCaffrey has another All-Pro season, he's in the Hall of Fame. John, this is the schedule for CMC to put another All-Pro year. It is. It's scheduled for everybody to go off. Just got to be honest. And I really hope that we get to that point. I really, really do. Now, before we get to, I want two things. I want to talk rookie contracts, and I want to talk back to our best of series. We're going backwards. We did 44 with the Wayne and John and Wayne show. Today, we're going to do 43, best 43. But before we do that, you want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right, let's talk some rookie signings. Just this morning, number 30 overall, Maxwell Hairston got signed, which leaves only three first-round draft picks that have not been signed: Travis Hunter, Shamar Stewart, and Jahdae Barrett. Those are the only three that have not signed. And to complicate things even further, 17th overall pick Shamar Stewart, the Bengals, left minicamp. He reported, contract not done, we're going to work out. Had a couple all-out crazy, I think pretty awesome press conferences, not for him or for the Bengals, but it was pretty awesome. And then he left. He left while they're still practicing, left the facility. And so a little bit of a nuanced take here. Shamar definitely not doing what's best for him. He's very passionate and probably shouldn't have spoke up like he did, but I respect it because he's not wrong. The Bengals are wrong, but Shamar's wrong too. And I'm very thankful we didn't draft this guy in the first round. I'm so thankful we didn't draft this guy in the first round, even more so now. Now, I don't think that he is wrong. It's just not putting himself in the best light. You know, the Bengals are trying to do something that's never been done. There's, I think, two or three other first-round picks have language in their contract that says if injured for a certain number of games, you void the guarantees for that year. or the following year. The Bengals are trying to do something that's never been done, that if there's any injuries, it voids for all future years. So, like, the Bengals ownership is known for being super cheap. The Browns, same thing before the Deshaun Watson deal. But, like, whatever. There's a couple just poor ownership teams that try to do this stupid stuff. Remember the whole Carson quarterback USC Palmer. He's like, I just refuse to deal with this group anymore. Trade me, get me out of here, whatever else. But it's crazy that there's still so many unsigned. So I don't know what that looks like. Now, if Shamar doesn't sign, and now here, let's get into fairyland here, fairy tale land. Let's get crazy. This is not going to happen. If I'm the Niners, and again, I'm not high on Shamar Stewart at all, I'd call the Bengals and say, hey, we'll give you our second round pick for them next year. So you get our 2026 second. We'll take on that contract. But the only way I would do that, one, the Bengals would not accept that because it's going to make them look cheap and stupid. So, you know, the Brown family, they're not going to sign into that. But two, I would not do that unless I talked to the agent and Shamar and said, this is the exact language. You will sign this contract day one when you show up here. Otherwise, we're not going to do this deal. And if you agree, we'll do it. If not, you know, so make sure it's worked out beforehand. But technically, that could happen. I would not offer up our first round pick next year. That's way too spicy. But our second round pick, I would. I think defensive end, you could still use somebody like a Shamar Stewart. Every single team in the NFL could use Shamar Stewart. I don't like him, and I don't think that he was first round worthy. I had a second round grade on him, but I would do that. Strawberry, are rookies able to be traded before they play? Yeah, they can. I mean, you could look at right when the Chargers took Eli Manning and then you swap those players. The NBA does that all the time, right? Yeah, you could trade whatever. Yeah, everything could be traded even before they sign the deal. It just rookies aren't usually traded because the majority of rookie first round picks are fully guaranteed deals. So whenever you trade that contract, the opposing or the home team takes a lot of that money. Think about Trey Lance, right? 49ers took almost all that money whenever you traded him away. So that's why rookie trades don't happen a lot, because it's like, man, we already paid him. Why are we going to trade him if we already paid him? That's the thing. Now, here's the thing. I will say this, and I listened to all of his Shamar Stewart's press. He's well-spoken, and he's right. But just because you're right doesn't mean you should say it whenever you're in a contract dispute. That's an issue. I don't have a character red flag on him. It's a production red flag. But, like, I would give a second round pick for him. But anyway, now there's three first round picks. There are 30 second round picks that are unsigned, including Alfred Collins. I really want this deal to get done. I really want this deal to get done. I really want this deal to get done. I really hope we start seeing some second round picks. So if you want to know what to pay attention to second round picks getting their deals done. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. Now, the Rams went and signed DJ Humphreys, who was reported to have signed with the 49ers. We got a little bit of a, you know, who was the guy last year? The linebacker that went to the Cowboys, Kendricks. Similar situation. You know, 49ers were rumored to sign DJ Humphreys, but then they pivoted to Dillard. Well, now DJ Humphreys signs with the Rams. And a day later, you get the news their starting offensive tackle, Alaric Jackson, is dealing with blood clots again, which I hate that, man. Obviously, I hate the Rams, but I hate this way more than I hate the Rams. And I hate that for Alaric Jackson. But it makes sense because Alaric Jackson missed 9 games in 2022 with the same issue. So now that that's back, the Rams are kind of buttressing or, you know, trying to provide a little bit more support there. Something to watch out for, because if they're signing him to get, you know, it's just, man, Rams offensive line, we'll see what that is. And yeah, it's scary stuff. I hate it. And so, you know, just thoughts out to him, and I hope he does all right. But yeah, Rams, they're kind of in a situation there now that they weren't planning on. They invested so much in that offensive line. We'll see what happens. It does have a football impact, right? And so that's what we're trying to cover here. Now, let's get to our best of series as we wrap up today's show. A little bit out of order. We did 44. I just wanted to know Wayne's thoughts on You know, the whole Rathman use check conversation, which is a lot of fun. So now we're going backwards, just one episode. The next one will be 45. But the best number 43 to ever wear that jersey number for the 49ers. And this one was pretty fun because there were 26 players that have donned the jersey 43 in a regular season game, 26, way more than most of the numbers. And there wasn't like a clear favorite. Right now, Trey Avery's wearing it. Tayshawn Gibson wore it for a year. Maurice Hicks. Even had like back in the 50s, Ray Collins. He was a Pro Bowl left tackle for 1 year. But the final four, Dave Wehmer, Mark Logan, Winlan Hall, and Jim Kaysen. We're going to learn about some 49ers nostalgia today, which is going to be a lot of fun. Like, I absolutely love when we get to do this because I don't know these players. And I think a lot of you guys probably know more than I do, especially you old hats, which the gray beards out there amongst us, which I love you guys. But let's see here. Rusty's got a question. Was Richard Petty one of them? He was not. Richard Petty, I'm going through the list now. No, that's he did not wear that jersey. Now, what number did he wear? I think I talked about him recently. I got to mess with that one later. But let's get through these guys. Let's start with Winlan Hall. 70s, he wore the jersey number 72 to 75. So back in the 70s, defensive back, fourth rounder out of Arizona State. No Pro Bowls, no All Pros. Just was a reserve starter, but played 54 games. Had a couple interceptions, spot starter. He had a 17 AV scale on the approximated value. Somebody that played a lot of football. Mark Logan. A lot of people are going to remember this one. He was part of the 94 Super Bowl team. Played with the Niners for 3 years. You know, he was a running back, true third down kind of guy. You know what I mean? No Pro Bowls or anything like that, but did get the Super Bowl win. Only 18 starts, but was a two-way back. He had 55 receptions in his time with the 49ers. Short yardage back, moved the chains all the time. And he's a member of the Kentucky Hall of Fame and African-American Sports Hall of Fame. Just stuff that I could find on him whenever I was looking him up. But, yeah, he's part of that 94 Super Bowl. That elevates everybody. It's weird. Like, the weight that you put on Super Bowl-winning teams, at least myself, it hurts whenever I'm doing this for recent players because, you know, we talk about all these recent players. There are no Super Bowls. And, like, that's what sucks. You talk about some of these greats, you know, Patrick Willis, Joe Staley, Frank Gore, you know, whatever, Kittle, Warner. No Super Bowls. Well, we got to get one. We got to get one. We got to go right there. Yeah, you trying to stump me, Rusty? I got you. You got it coming, buddy. I'll just mess with you. I knew Richard Petty was a race car driver. I did not know. I was like, was there a Richard Petty I missed out? Turns out I'm a sucker. It's written on the forehead. It's there. Dave Wehmer, early 90s, 1990 to 1991, really enjoyed learning about him. Now, obviously, he's in the Saints Hall of Fame, and, you know, he played for a decade with the Saints. I mean, he has the record still for Saints interceptions. I don't care about that. I care about what you do for the 49ers and 49ers only. But his two seasons in 1990 and 1991 were epic. I mean, he was awesome. He had 2 years. He had 11 interceptions in those 2 years. Played alongside Ronnie Lott. And, man, they were just ball hawks back there. And the defense was stout from the back to the front. Now, tragically, he overdosed at 34 years old. Which is so sad, just horrifying. And I learned that they even made a movie referencing this. It was an ABC movie with Sally Field called A Saintly Switch. It was dedicated to him and kind of his story. And so, man, I hate to hear that and just how horrible that is for the family and stuff. But it was interesting diving through his history. And again, you know, if you're a Saints fan, which none of you are, this dude's in the Hall of Fame there. And so you took him away late. And, you know, we see this with guys like Jerry Rice, you know, Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, these amazing 49ers that are legends. And then they go play like their waning years for another team and chasing money and stuff. I hate that. But it's weird to be on the other side because I feel like a lot of people do that to us because, you know, we're such a stout franchise. but it's a little different being on the other side. So that's Dave Wehmer. He comes in second for me. And number one, going old school, Jim Kaysen, from 1948 to 1954. I think that he played, and in my research, a pivotal role in bringing legitimacy to the 49ers franchise. He was a part of the transition from the All-American Football Conference to the NFL. And the 49ers were not seen as a respectable organization. But he was one of the main players that led the 49ers into this kind of, look, they're here, they belong. He had two Pro Bowls. He was a defensive back and a halfback, both sides of the ball. Two Pro Bowls, 25 interceptions. He had two picks in playoff games. He played all over for the 49ers, including he even played one game at quarterback. I had a lot of fun reading this. Y.A. Tittle gets hurt, broke his hand. So then they put Jim Kaysen in at quarterback. But Y.A. Tittle comes back in the fourth quarter because Kaysen's doing so bad. That's a Y.A. Tittle story. But like, that's the guys that kind of created the 49ers belong. Became a coach for the Broncos after he retired. Passed away in 2013 at the age of 86. But Jim Kaysen, way before the AV scale works or doesn't work, but played seven seasons for the 49ers and started kind of this, hey, this team is a real team. And let us, you know, early 49ers, for those of you who don't know, had no success. None. And, you know, I go through all these players and I do all this research, and one of the things I always look for is playoff games. Like, did this person play in any playoff games? Man, 50s, 60s, 70s, it's like non-existent. Like, we were the Cleveland Browns before the Cleveland Browns. But then the 80s and the Walsh era changed everything. And then you had the Harbaugh era, right? And now we got the Shanahan era. But to see somebody in, you know, the 40s 50s 60s 70s have any playoff appearances whatsoever, it's kind of like, oh, this dude played in two playoff games and delivered two picks in two playoff games. That's huge. And again, just showing the 49ers could establish themselves. Took a little while, but man, I freaking love this stuff. Ah, I love the nostalgia. I hope you guys do too. Rusty, I'm a gray beard, and even I don't remember a great 43. Yeah, Jim Kaysen, you got to go back to 48 to 54, 1954. Love it. Right here was Macklemore mentioned. So Dana Macklemore, he was not mentioned, but yeah, you're talking, he was part of the Super Bowl. So he's got to be a part of that. I'm looking him up now. Defensive back, 10th round. I wish we had the 10th round back in 1982. Defensive back there. There you go. So see, I didn't miss it. Thank you, Kyle, for keeping me honest. Slick. Hey, JC, was Ayuk not allowed to be part of the team's picks because of the NFL/team rules? No, I don't think so. But usually the PR department kind of picks a couple people to put up there. It makes sense not to put Brandon Ayuk up there right now. There's bad blood everywhere. I don't think it's a big deal, but if I'm a coach or if I'm an agent or if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm saying, hey, I spent way too much time in the spotlight for wrong things. Just let me stay in the back. Let me get my stuff right, and let me do what I got to do. Don't put me out there right now. Put the other guys out there right now. And BA's never been a person that wants to be out front anyway. Remember whenever he first started doing pressers, he always had Debo with him. Like, and again, I've reached out to his people and tried to work with his people. They're like, yeah, he don't like doing this stuff. Like, it's just not who he is. So I don't think... I wouldn't read too much into that, especially with him rehabbing. Yeah, like, he was probably off visiting a doctor or whatever. Like, I'm not too concerned about any of that stuff. But again, I'm not a tin foil hat wearing guy. There are those guys. I'm a nostalgia guy. I like looking back almost as much as I like looking forward, but that's just me. But hey, go check out those other channels. They're going to talk about those things and have fun. Hopefully you have a good time with that. But yeah, I'm not. Ayuk's fine. He is just fine. Anyway, you guys are the best. I made it. And I feel awful, but I don't feel like I'm going to lose my breakfast. So like, that's good. I appreciate you guys bearing with me. Now, I do have to say this. I missed yesterday's show just because I was sick. So apologies to 49ers Cutback and the coach approach that we usually do on Thursdays. That's my bad. But I know Ant put out a show anyway. Go check out his show. It was awesome. On 49ers Cutback. And again, apologies there. Now, next week, I have to go visit my family. I'm like gone Wednesday to Wednesday. I'm going to visit family all over the country. But I'm going to be recording some sparingly. But we're in the offseason now. We're going to keep you entertained with our 91-man roster series. If you haven't caught that yet, go check it out on our channel. We're putting it up in audio and YouTube and whatever else. That is a very this is the time to get to know all of the dark horse candidates to make the 53. And so I hope that you guys take time to enjoy that series because it's a lot of work, but we do enjoy it here. And I've gotten back a lot of very positive feedback from you guys, and I appreciate that. So that's going to do it for us today. Y'all are awesome, and stay healthy out there. And, man, remember, whatever stuff goes on in the world around you, what unites us is always greater than what divides us. Don't let those things get in the way of relationships that actually matter, and just fight for commonality and empathy and for each other and for community, whether it's sports, family, where you live, all those things. Just remember, we are better than what is out there and what divides us. Stay together, people. Love y'all. And until next time, stay strong, faith.